You know, it's funny you say that. I didn't even realize I had a style until I was shipping a painting. And someone was like, I saw this in the mall. And I was like, oh, this has never been in the mall. But some of my stuff has been in the mall. So, like, thank you. That was, like, the coolest compliment ever. And I realize it's, like, a graffiti-esque, more pop style. And I think as long as you are just confident and inspired in what I'm doing, I think that's how I got my style. I just started genuinely doing it because it freed my mind, and I guess it became a style.
Meg, did you say your last name?
Okay, VN.
Just
VN. Pleased
to meet you. Shut the fuck up, Siri.
Good to meet you too, Siri.
So it's just VN?
Yeah.
VN.
VN.
Meg VN, the artist. Can't believe I'm incriminating myself right now.
Dude, the boys are gonna love this. Everybody thinks that I'm not even talking into the mic. Jeez, it's gonna be a long episode. Like, the boys all think that I'm a bad influence on Aaron, and I probably am. But this is gonna be video proof that he's starting to corrupt himself.
I'm not corrupting myself. It's for medicinal purposes. We played some intense knee hockey the other day. One of the boys are all hurting. So, but Meg VN, thank you for coming on the Nicola podcast. As you can see, we got some new decor in the house, all right?
She's got a little bit of editing to do on the Get Your Nickel Up one. So that's what the sticky note's there for. But Meg, it looks great. Like, seriously, thank you so much for doing that. We've been looking for a Nickel Up piece for the longest time. And like, we were thinking we were going to do like LEDs at one point, but that's way cooler. It's going to go right over there above the island. So it'll be the first thing people see when they walk in every time.
Yay, I'm so happy.
Yeah, we were saving that spot just for you.
It's like you knew I would be here.
Exactly.
We should ash it in the candle, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's a good call. How'd you get into art?
In high school, I had a really awesome art teacher.
Shout them out. Who was it? Shout them out.
Can we edit it out until I think of it?
Yeah, sure. You know who it is? We're not editing that out. What?
Great start, Meg. Way to come prepared. So you had a great art teacher in high school.
She was the best.
That was my last
This is
one,
awful and criminal that I'm blanking on her name. I don't want to say Miss Cooney and it'd be the wrong name.
So it might have been Miss Cooney.
Let's call her Miss Cooney.
All right.
I even ate lunch in her room. She just got me into it, and I wanted to take every class with her. And I sound terrible for not remembering her name, but she basically just gave me the confidence in art and made me feel like it was something that I could actually do. And I was like kind of good at it, so it was like something that was fun for me. And then I started looking at art schools for college.
And then did you end up going to art school?
Endicott College. Yep, for studio art. Woo woo, Mark in the corner.
Go Gulls. Is it Gulls?
Mm-hmm.
The Gulls. That's cool. Yeah. Did you last there?
Played soccer for a year, and then I ended up transferring to Salve Regina.
Okay.
Yep.
Were you like doing art and soccer, basically?
Art and soccer.
Okay.
Yep.
When did you realize that like art was kind of something that you wanted to pursue like as a career or as a business?
Probably when I discovered Virgil Abloh, which was when I was a sophomore in college. And I just became utterly obsessed with everything he did, and I wanted to do it.
I feel like he had that inspiration on a lot of people.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people say that he got them, you know, into being creative. A lot of rappers are saying that nowadays.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel it's like a creative thing. It's not even like necessarily like painting or like clothing. It's like anything that's like an outlet to like do something and unleash your like creativity. Like Virgil inspired and like created a pathway for like so many people.
100%.
Do you remember like the first thing that you saw, like your first introduction of his work?
It was the Off-White shoes. I remember seeing like the X, and I remember seeing the lines and just being like, those are the coolest shoes I've ever seen. What's the tag? And so then I looked it up and I was like, damn, like, of course they're so expensive because there's like so much purpose behind them. And he's such an innovator, and then he collabed with Kanye, and then it was just, I was obsessed.
what do you think, like, about an artist kind of gives them, like, that it thing to be, like, the, like, a pillar of our generation? Like, you know, everybody knows what Off-White is. Everybody knows who Virgil Abloh is. You know, he was the creative director at Louis Vuitton. Like, mm-hmm. how does an artist create that, like, signature look like Off-White has to kind of stand out from everybody else and make a name for themselves?
That's a good question.
Because, like, you have your own style of painting, too. You know, it's, like, very graffiti-like, kind of something you'd see in a tunnel, but a little bit more professional and cleaned up. Like, how did you kind of develop that style for yourself?
You know, it's funny you say that. I didn't even realize I had a style until I was shipping a painting. And someone was like, I saw this in the mall. And I was like, oh, this has never been in the mall. But some of my stuff has been in the mall. So, like, thank you. That was, like, the coolest compliment ever. And I realize it's, like, a graffiti-esque, more pop style. And I think as long as you are just confident and inspired in what I'm doing, I think that's how I got my style. I just started genuinely doing it because it freed my mind, and I guess it became a style.
I want to talk more about Virgil. Like, that's so fascinating. Like, I mean, I don't know. He's just, for some reason, he's never come up on this podcast before.
Wow.
And, like, we haven't had, like, a true, like, artist yet on, so, like, it kind of makes sense. But
I'm going to get serious if we're talking about Virgil.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just, like, what, like, beyond, like, oh, so you saw his shoes, you saw, like, the Kanye collab. How else have you, like, taken his influence and, like, applied it to your work and, like, your career or just, like, your mindset throughout this?
Probably in the aspect of, like, there's no box that you need to be put into. I think no one knew his next move. He took two materials and put them together just because he could, and no one else really crossed that border yet. And I thought that was fascinating. I thought, like, why not do something you're passionate about? He was so in tune with, like, the street culture along with his creative background. Like, he was also a genius. So, like, he had so many alleys to what brought him to Off-White, and I kind of resonated with that. I think that you don't need to be just one thing, you know? And I want to surprise people.
What is your art teacher that you, like, connected with in high school? That
it's Miss Cooney. I'm confident about it.
What did Miss Cooney, like, because, like, you're talking about Virgil's kind of influences, like, she was your first introduction to this space. Like, what were her, like, things that she told you? Was it similar things? Was it something, like, completely different? Like, do you remember anything, like, specifically?
Well, she went to Montserrat, which is in Beverly, where I grew up. And that's kind of, like, so much more of an art school than what I went to. So she had more of a foundation and a base for, like, structure. And she really helped me with, like, the bones of art. And without her, I don't know if I'd be as good as I am. Because conceptually, she taught me all of the important things so that when I got to college, I could just free my mind. But I think the most important thing was for her to just say, give it a try. Like, she was just like, you're not applying yourself. And it's, teachers say that all the time, but for some reason I listened to her and then I just kind of just went with it.
You keep saying that, like, when you paint, you kind of free your mind. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's your thought process when you're going in and you're making a piece, like, either of the ones you have next to you?
Pretty much I I hit a joint. I'm just in a space for my mind to just be open and creative to any possibility. Like, you have to be open to failure, because I fail all the time, but you wouldn't know it. So maybe that's why I paint like this, because I can correct myself and just keep moving as fast, not as fast as I can, but be okay with messing up. And maybe that's where my style comes from, but I don't know. I do a lot of studying. Like, I did a lot of research on you guys before I made it. So, like, I know you got your thing from New York's, like, get your nickel up. Like, it's a saying that you guys have. So I wanted to make sure that I did that. And loading, guys, this is what it says.
Sometimes you smoke two joints before you paint.
That's going to be fixed.
One day. So, honestly, I kind of like it.
We just leave the sticky note, but, like, I'll spray it on
forever.
Ugh. Or you just get, like, a different color and just kind of cross it out.
A red X.
It is a red X. Yeah.
just how it goes.
How many times have you gone over your shit with black paint?
That was so many times. There's like paintings. People don't even know what's underneath. Like there's 8 paintings under your painting probably.
What is the first, like, what your first stroke?
A lot of times I take like a spray paint and I just start the canvas with a color. Or like this one was yellow paint to the canvas.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, once the canvas is like one color or like you're kind of like ready to begin, like where do you start? Do you have
I look at a photo. I visualize it. I'm like, if I see it, I can do it. I take the Sharpie in my hand. I don't even use pencils. I don't like graphite. And I'll just start. And if I mess up, I just keep circling around it. And then I'll just form it until I'll just scribble. And people are like, I'm on FaceTime with my friend Maddie the other day. Shout out Maddie Jalbert. And she's like, open your eyes. Why are you doing this? And I'm like, oh, like, I don't know why I'm doing that. But I guess I'm just visualizing it. And I have to do this to do it. So if you ever see me do art, tell me to open my eyes.
You just got your eyes closed the whole time?
I'm like this. I don't know. I'm just seeing it.
I like the one. It was like... Mike Studd and Post Malone.
Oh, that for the Clock Tavern?
For the Clock.
Yeah, show there this Sunday, 2 to 6.
I know, we're going to pull up.
Yes.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
I think this is going to go out on Monday.
Right.
So, like, prefacing the show, like, how do you think it's going to go?
I told everyone and their mothers, and a lot of my favorite mothers are coming, so I'm so excited.
How many paintings are you bringing to that? Like, how do you prepare for a show?
It's been a lot of paintings that I've been collecting, and then it's a lot of the Raptor collection and the Celtics collection combined with a bunch of other things just to pique interest. And I'm bringing about like 30, maybe more pieces.
How long does like the average piece take you?
It depends. Sometimes like a week if I'm super like inspired by it, or sometimes I have to sit and look at it like for 5 months.
What's like an example of something that's taken you like forever? Like... this?
Like, yeah. This took me, like, 5 months.
Really?
It's that.
Walk us through it, because it's right here.
So.
That's why Drew Holiday made it. It's last year's Celtics with Drew Holiday.
Derek White.
I need to put this down.
We got, like, Robert Williams.
Derek White stole his fucking hair.
Whoop, whoop. In this photo, he had a fro. I love it. So that's I had cool. to put it in. Oh, my God. I was like, why is that moving? Thank you.
You start with a logo?
I actually started with Tatum.
Yeah.
And then I moved to the bottom left, which I think is brown.
JB.
Yep. Then we move up to Pritchard.
Okay.
And then we have Big Al in the center. I did him. And then I drop down this way.
You got Marcus Smart and Drew Holiday. How did they, like, they kind of went in and out at the same time. Like, how did you get both of them on here?
They were just out there doing their thing. They had to make it too. Okay, I was just filling people in. And yeah, Derek. And then we did the logo over and over again. And then I did a yellow, and then I didn't like the yellow, so I did another yellow.
And then what about this? It's probably going to be hard to show on camera, but like the texture, like mm-hmm. in the like negative space,
mm-hmm.
like what is that? It's like a clear, like.
Yeah, it's like my oil marker. It's in a lot of my work because I kind of want your eye to like actually take the time to focus on every single detail of my piece. And not just, like, look at it and, like, feel like you absorbed it the second you light your eyes on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That brings up a good question. It's, like, when you... I'm sure you, like, enjoy consuming art, right? Mm-hmm. You like going to museums or, like experiencing different art mediums. How do you consume art and how, like... what are some, like, tips to people that, like... our audience is probably a little bit, like, more on the less artistic side and, like, more new to this space. Like, tips to be able to, like, consume and, like, enjoy art, like, more.
My tips is like, yeah, I go to museums and stuff, but at the same time, like your local restaurants and coffee shops, like they are authentic and they want authentic art in their space. And so a lot of times the art in there is the best stuff to look at. So I'm on the street, I'm looking in windows, I'm looking everywhere. A lot of the inspiration I get comes from everyday life of just existing, whether it's on a bus or a billboard, or it's just something I see myself. Like when it comes to art, a lot of the stuff in museums doesn't resonate with everyone. As it's okay, and it's okay if it doesn't. For me, it does. I love going to museums, but that's why I like to take a lot of the real life art and get people to understand that it kind of can be whatever you want as long as you are creative and enough to be confident in what you're doing.
But there has to be some kind of like, not guidelines, but like you have to, while you're like outside the box, like keep it like together, right?
Mm-mm.
No?
No, like way back when, remember when they made like the porcelain toilet a piece of art?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, wow, they did.
Who did it?
I don't know. Not this again.
Your teacher did it?
No, Miss Cooney?
Yeah. Miss Cooney?
No. I forget who did it, but it was like a big upset because people were like, that's not art.
I mean, yeah, like you could make the case that like everything's art, like, which like, it's kind of true, but at the same time, like, I think the intention is important too.
100%. Right? That's what I mean about like, if you're confident and you are genuine with what you're doing, I think that's when people succeed. And that's why I think Virgil was successful.
Yeah. Besides Virgil, like what other influences or like famous or non-famous or whatever artists like have you drawn inspiration from?
So out in Dallas, there is an artist named Raw and he is crushing it. I flew out there for an event and I got to meet him in person and he is so influential in the way that he carries himself. He connects his athletic past with his creative art studio talents and he's just so good at talking, communicating and marketing himself. I think he is one of the most, let me pull up his Instagram so I can I do that?
Yeah.
So I can get people to follow.
What's his name?
Ra. I call him Ra.
Ra. Shout out Ra.
Kazadi. Ready? Ra 5. Well, it's like Ra-san, but instead of the S, it's a 5. And he is talented. And so meeting him kind of like giving me the
work.
Like, yeah, like he is graffiti-esque, abstract, colors to get your mind thinking. Like it looks realistic and then you get closer and there's green in the fade. Like it's just, it's so cool. Nothing's loading.
Yeah, you want to see it? Yeah.
Oh, good, it loaded. Where did the phone come from?
Go check your Instagram. He's plugging himself.
We're just looking at Mark like.
Go to the search bar. Shut up, man.
It's your art, guys.
Yes. Fuck you.
Do you draw inspiration from him as well? Then with your kind of graffiti-esque style.
It was funny because like I think like we both kind of have the same style, and then when I saw his work, I was totally influenced by it. Yeah, 100%.
Tell us about a time that you've gone to a museum or even a coffee shop where you've been like truly like at a loss of words.
Mesmerized.
For the work. Yeah. Tell us about a time that you've been truly mesmerized by a piece.
Okay, you guys are going to laugh at this. You know, you're not going to resonate with it, but the girls will. So I'm a local Boston girly and the girls will get it. In Loco bathroom, the walls are covered in graffiti. And there's layers upon layers of skulls, flowers, women, everything. Tacos. It's sick.
Who did that? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
So is that your favorite piece of art that you've seen?
In Boston, girls' local bathroom. Not the basement. Not the basement. Upstairs.
Interesting. Stairs. Well, we'll never live to see that, unfortunately. Mm-mm. But
what about
shout out to the local Boston girlies.
Yeah.
What about a time that that you saw a piece like in a museum that might be a little bit more professional than the local bathroom?
Okay, so on like the real note would be in the museum, the Peabody Essex Museum, there is a painting. I don't know much about history, but it's an ocean with ships, and it's like, it got me hooked on painting oceans and skies, if that makes sense. Like it's inspiring to me. It's my favorite piece and I wish I could think of it, but it just is fine art. And there's like a side of me that loves that. And I know I don't display it all the time, but that's definitely a piece. Go to that museum. It's where I started loving art.
I feel like Massachusetts is like a very, like you think of like the North Shore with like Gloucester or yeah. like Manchester. And it's like these beautiful like bays, like bay image with like the sailboats and like a pier, sunset, the hydrangeas. And it's all like watercolor, like oil painting. Like it's very like Massachusetts style, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And like extends down to the Cape, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, like everywhere, even all over New England. Mm-hmm. Have you done, like, obviously this is like a much different style, but have you tried out like the oil or the watercolor, that kind of medium?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff I do is based around, if I'm not doing this, mm-hmm. it is New England style based, and a lot of my hydrangeas and stuff are what my family and friends love the most, and it's what I get requested the most, which is funny because if I'm not doing something that's like from here and I'm doing a commission base, half the time it is totally that landscape-esque style, and it's a hit. But it's not really what I market myself as.
I want to talk about like kind of like what you were talking about earlier with the having the image in your head and then translating to like, you know, the canvas. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like for most people, that's a learning curve, mm-hmm. to be able to like translate something from your head or like something that you see to actually make it look similar or look like in your way. How long did, like, was that natural for you, like, that process? Or, like, how long did that take to kind of master or get to the point that you're at now?
Yeah, and that's why I give Miss Cooney such a shout-out, because she taught me, as soon as I started taking it seriously, how important the fundamentals of depth are. And if you cannot spend hours and just really harness the idea of, like, how do you draw this? Like, how do you make this look 3D? And we did it for hours on everything. And then I drew my first face. It was Angelina Jolie. She was so, you know, like she was so good. And she sat there with me for hours and we did it. And then it finally clicked for me. And I think once your brain understands that, you never have to kind of study it again, you know? So that's kind of why.
Well, you're just practicing. Right, you're just getting better at it.
I'm just getting better at it. Yeah, so I'll look at a photo of him and I'll just look at it a few times and I'll be able to do it, you know.
That makes sense. Growing up, crayons or markers?
Markers.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a crayon person? Mm-mm. Why?
I don't like the feeling of paper.
No, crayons are awesome. Cause they leave that like nice texture and like. Markers are just so like bland.
Bland.
Yeah.
Why?
You with me on this?
Yeah, honestly, I'm a colored pencil. No. Guy.
Colored pencil. Get out of here. Get out of here with your shading, bro. Come on.
No. Dude, I was nice at shading.
I don't know. It's just funny because you talk about like art class in high school. Like you were obviously taking it very seriously, but there's definitely the kids that like just sign up for that class to get the credit. Like,
totally. That was me for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
But it was a blessing and a curse, or not even a curse, but it was like a blessing because, yeah.
Yeah.
In disguise.
Mm-hmm. In my middle school, we had to take an art class or like do band. Yeah. And I didn't want to be a band kid, so yep. I took art.
Yep.
And
How was it?
And me and my friends used to screw around in it so much. Like, shout out Miss Adler. You were the worst.
Take that back.
We're just shouting out our middle school art teachers.
There was like a big trombone like up on one of these shelves, and then there was one assignment we were like forming tinfoil into sculptures, and we got to use like hot glue guns too. So me and my friends would get balls of tinfoil, put hot glue on them, and throw them up into the trombone.
You think she found them?
And then she got like so mad when she found them, but she couldn't.
Shouting out our art teacher, Mr. Osai, fuck you. I hate you.
I hate
my art teacher so much.
Our teachers are good people.
But I like our teachers. And I used to always get kicked out of her class and like get sent to the principal's office because I was just screwing around. And then like later on, like my mom would get so pissed at me when I was in middle school. But now my mom works at that same school. Okay. And then she goes, Jack, like okay. I understand why you're so mean to her. She was the worst. And my mom's like the nicest lady. Everybody loves her. And yeah, she hates Miss Adler too. So
damn, you guys, you should have had Miss Cooney.
I know. I wish.
What's she up to now?
God bless her. I don't know.
Oh. You haven't reconnected? Does she know about any of this?
No.
I think you should tell her. Like, if I was a teacher, I feel like I'd be very proud to know that one of my students became, like, as established as you are.
Ernie Jokler, Salve Regina, my favorite professor.
You should invite them to your show.
And I let him know. He wasn't there the day I went, so I left him a note. And he did reach out and say thank you. And, yeah. Yeah, it's important to let, sorry to interrupt you, but it's important to let the people that have influenced you in a positive way that they have.
Do you come from like an artistic family at all?
Yeah, my dad's so creative.
And like professionally or just like as a hobby?
he could build a house out of just scrap wood, but it's just for fun, you know, but it's serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. I feel like that does a lot though. Like there's like creative blood is definitely like a real thing and like the genes and like just it gets passed down. Like,
you guys both just itch your face like that at the same time.
We're kind of on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Also take a sip of your water at the same time.
Right? Oh my God, I have a water right here.
You got a water.
We spend way too much time together.
Thank you.
A little bit too much.
It's like probably 22 hours a day.
That's good though.
Yeah. It's good.
We should ask her about music stuff.
Why?
Music
is what's your favorite song?
My favorite song ever?
Yeah.
Hate it or love it, the underdog's on top. I'm going down.
Okay.
I'm not going to keep going.
What about music?
I think a lot of the reason, I know that taste is so good. A lot of the reason you see this is because like in my head, what do you think I listen to when I do art? Actually, I'm curious.
Like classical music, just to kind of like.
Yeah, what kind?
I didn't know there was multiple times.
If you're, if it, honestly, music. Like string quartets.
String quartets? Is this giving string quartet?
Nah, jazz.
In the video, can we get like a zoom photo of what we're talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
String quartet.
What do you listen to?
Kendrick Lamar.
All the time?
Pop Smoke. Tupac. NWA. Like, I could keep going. Nothing about this is string quartet.
Mozart?
Never.
Beethoven?
Never.
Brahms?
No.
Why'd you ask what type of classical then if it was just
yeah, you were throwing us off.
You're no, leading us on.
It's definitely
I was teasing you guys, but you went with it.
You listen to Drake too or just Kendrick?
Mm-mm.
Real one.
I picked a team.
Picked a team.
Meg, I want to talk about the business side a little bit of art a little bit more because you mentioned your friend Roz. He kind of is like a great marketer.
Yeah.
So what kind of goes into marketing yourself as an individual, as an artist? Like, how do you make money on your pieces?
Hold up. Because there's no shout out without this one. RobGrass9 is his Instagram because he's the marketer. Also, Roz is so good at marketing himself, but... they created this company together, which is who I first reached out to, called Nostalgia and Noise. And the brains and the marketing behind it is Rob, kind of. So it takes kind of a team, even though you both can provide it. But the creative and marketing aspect I take from both of them is they just, like, go out and they talk to people and they immerse themselves in the community and they just, like, kind of grow together. And I think that's, like, what I kind of want to do here in Boston because we don't have that yet for the creative. We don't have an art district, really.
Have you been to Miami?
Miami, Wynwood? Yeah. Love it.
I used to live in Wynwood.
Shut up.
Yeah. I think that's, like, one of the coolest. I mean, this style is, like, it's just, like, a very, it's street. It's street art. And it, like, the stories from there, it's, like, 20 years ago, like, Wynwood was, like, just, like, warehouses.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, like, now it's this blossoming, like, artist. Like, I walked into a random factory, like, a random warehouse there. Very unassuming. And they were, like, I walk in and I had a coffee. And they're, like, could you please just leave your coffee at the front desk? I was, like, yeah, sure. Walk, like, 2 minutes later, walking around, real-life Van Gogh. Just what? Sitting there. And it's, like, this big.
What?
Yeah, it's just like it's like a massive art hub.
Yeah,
and like
it is.
We went to Art Basel.
You did.
Pretty awesome.
So cool.
Maybe you'll be there next year, right?
I'll be there.
You got this at Art Basel.
I've been looking. When I'm not looking at you guys and I'm talking this way, I've been staring at that.
Yeah, it's what was the artist who
Rich Bisco.
Yeah, Rich Bisco. He was doing these and it was for a charity event at this restaurant called Giselle in Miami. And there was only like a few of them for sale. And I went up there and I bought one and I asked him which one is your favorite. And he said that one was his favorite one that he did.
His favorite one?
Yeah. So I got that. So it's pretty cool. Kind of goes with the Nickel Up theme. That's why I bought it. But
love it.
So you bet you spent time down there, or you just kind of seen it from a distance?
I didn't get to spend a lot of time down there. It was like a day trip. Mm. I need more time.
It's a special place for sure. It's interesting. It's different than like other parts of Miami, but like for art specifically, that or like Design District too, is like there's so much going on and so much like to draw inspiration from there too.
Have you ever heard of Vance and Leather? It's like this really popular leather company, but they're based out of a warehouse in Fall River. Like, never would have known that. Yeah. I want to go get my like hands dirty there. I made a piece with Jalen Brown and Millie's, and I'm just going to bring it to them, but I just don't know when. But it's Fall River, you know, like a brick warehouse.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a leather.
Like look
leather.
Them up. Like, Stephon Diggs just had a jacket on.
They make the clothing?
Yeah, like it's a factory where they stitch it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
And it's been
shout out
forever.
To Vance?
Vance and Leather.
Vance and Leather. That's crazy. Let's keep talking about like the business stuff. So yeah. You shout out your friend.
Yep.
Who kind of just like.
Raw and Rob.
And Rob. Who, not Rob, Raw.
Raw is the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were like inspiration and they were kind of like helpful and like showing you what's possible on the business side. Right?
Totally.
When was like the first moment that you realized like you could actually turn this into like something that's just a hobby or something that you're good at to actually like make money on and like be compensated for your work?
That's like a hard question because I'm still kind of getting used to it. I guess it's just like when people come up to me and say that they want something from me, it feels good and it makes me realize that I could do this. And so once I started taking that seriously and realizing that maybe not just people I know, like other people would want it as well, I took everything I had and put it into an LLC and starting that like business and getting the website up. And I had to kind of put a pause on the creativity making and like focus on that business side, and doing all of that is tough, but it's really nice when you have people there to help you. So the marketing aspect is just as important.
Once you brought business into the equation, has it hindered like your creativity or affected it in a negative way, or has it like opened up more possibilities in the positive?
More possibilities, because I think there's more of a purpose to what I'm doing now, because I'm more intentful with what I'm using as inspiration and what I'm putting on the canvas. Like, I started focusing on collections instead of just random pieces.
Because you're taking it more seriously and you want to like grow something.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the process about like building those collections in anticipation for an art show like you're doing this Sunday. What goes into preparing for a show like that?
Oh, so many hours of art. But yeah, I'm excited. So the Clock Tavern, we're doing it on Sunday. It's just a bunch of pieces that I have been working on in the past, knowing that they would be for my next show. And once I kind of took the marketing and business aspect more seriously, they started being aligned. So I did a lot of research on Pinterest with the Slam, the old... sports, like, you know, it's like Sports Illustrated, but Slam. Yeah. Okay. And so then I would do all the Celtics players, because growing up, Celtics were my favorite. Shout out KG.
Have you done some like Slam covers?
Yeah. So at the show, you'll see them. I'm very excited.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Who do you have? You have KG on that?
KG's just doing a dunk. We have D Brown doing the no look dunk. We have Jason Tatum. We have Paul Pierce.
These are all Slam covers?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a cultural...
And its intent, you know? Like, there was intent behind
it. Oh, my God. That's, like, timeless. That's going to be forever.
Shout out Celtics at 8 tonight.
Who?
Huh?
Who is it? Shout out?
Aren't the Celtics playing tonight at 8?
No, the Celtics already won.
No, they won.
Oh, that's sick.
Wait, let's
and
like
he's got the Timberwolves jersey on, too.
Oh, and look who's with them.
Paul Pearson.
No, on the other team.
Wait, is that KG?
It's no. Kobe.
That's KG. Kobe. Oh, that's Kobe.
Oh,
shit.
Oh, because the purple.
Oh, I see the purple and yellow now.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. Yeah, like I'm trying to like educate as well as influence.
Educate through your art?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Because I don't know if people in our generation even know what slam is.
Really?
I mean, if you're not totally. We
do. Yeah. But we're.
But you're in that market.
Yeah. What no, if, it makes sense. You're right. And like, also like, it's not even for our generation, but it's for the next generation right. that like could not even see that in person, like feasible on paper. Like now it's all digital. They still have the magazines, but like, you know, they're hard to get. They're not totally. Pushing those anymore. No, that's fascinating. Did you grow up like really like as a, you played soccer.
Yeah.
So you were into sports like your whole life.
Loved sports. Like, growing up, I'd go to every single Fenway game with my dad. We'd go to every Celtics game. My mom's obsessed with the Celtics. Then we'd go to the Bruins, you know. We would grow up in college and we would train in for every parade. It was just like a cultural thing for us, you know that. Like, it was great. Like, iPhone cases were Celtics, like everything. You know those posters they gave out at the game? I'd take that home. Everyone leaving on their seat, I'd pick theirs up.
Just collecting.
I love them.
What do you need to do, Meg, like to be a, like a generational artist like you just talked about? Like, what do you think that you need to do to make your work stand out and to live longer than you?
Again, like, let it inspire who you are, but then also be genuine about it. And if, like I said, if you're thinking deeper than just that and going into the business aspect, if you're educating, and then I think when you see a piece of art and it lasts longer than the artist, it's because it's educational, it's intentful, and it has purpose, and it will always. It's just how it goes.
What do you mean by purpose in a painting specifically?
I think, like, if you look at artists from a while ago who are still relevant, they just have this touch, and you'll know that it's one of their pieces. That's kind of what I mean.
Without seeing the signature.
Yeah, without seeing the signature. From
what it's like, the stylistic elements, the could even be like the landscape or the environment.
The color, everything, yeah. The shapes, everything.
What do you think about artists like adopting colors, like kind of like claiming colors almost?
I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
White and red, Marlboro.
That's your.
Love it.
Yeah. Those like, are your colors? You like white and red?
Yeah. Throw black in there too.
A little black. A little blue for Nickel Up, right?
How come some artists get bigger like after they die? What's the ignition in that?
I'll never know the right answer to that. I think it's horrible, but I think it's because people just actually start seeing the importance in what they were doing when they couldn't have done that while they were alive, which is sad.
People also just, you don't know what you have till it's gone.
Exactly.
And it's like, you can't appreciate it because it's like, there's more and more. And then once it's a finite resource, exactly. It's like, it's too late, but that's when it happens.
Like Mac Miller.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, of course you did.
You listen to Mac?
Love it. Paint? And it's just like him from beginning to of his work to like the end of it, like you just said, is like what we have to remember him by. And it just became all that more special to everyone. And then you like listen to every word and you're like, was there so much meaning behind every single word? And there is. But you don't study and like focus on that until he's no longer there to like kind of be like, thanks.
Do you ever listen to Virgil's like DJ sets?
No, I've never heard them.
Really?
No.
Oh, Mark. Yeah, you know what's up. So you got to look up next on your painting, Birds in the Trap, Sing McKnight Tour, Travis Scott, Virgil opening.
Can you write that down?
Yeah, you just want to put best. It on. Best. I want to put it on now.
No, like you're not going to get it on the, like it's not, you're not going to be able to see it, but we'll watch it later. It's so sick. It's okay. Just like, his energy, like you can see through all of his work, right? His energy is just different. And when he's able to translate that into something live, a live performance through awesome music that's recognizable and just like hits, like it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, I'm sure like there's music, like you were saying earlier, is like such a big
part of my art.
What'd you listen to when you made these?
Well, this one took 5 months. So this was like, everything. This might have even got like country Morgan Wallen, honestly. That might have been the minds, like we never know. But this one was like all hardcore rap.
All Kendrick though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, No Drake. No Drake was listened
no
to.
No Drake was listened to in the making of your R Nickel Up.
She told me to turn Drake off in the car one time.
Really? That's crazy.
I mean, that's just how, that's just, yeah.
What's your environment like?
When
do
I
do you
this?
Switch it up? Do you have a studio that you always use? What's that like?
I could do it wherever, but I do most of it in a studio in Beverly. Yeah, and where I live.
And how have you built that space to be comfortable creating? Like, what's that been like?
I'm basically, because of the lack of space, constantly surrounded by all my pieces, which is good inspiration. And then it kind of just gets into, like, a mess. An organized mess. Like, a marker will be, like, 5 deep under another marker, but I'll know it's under there. You know? An organized mess.
You know where everything is.
Yes.
You know the place, like your back, the back of your hand.
Like if someone walked in and was like, I'd know.
Uh-huh.
It's my brain on the floor.
How long have you been in that space before?
Wait, what?
How long have you been in that studio for?
It's my house.
But like painting in that room?
A year.
Okay.
Cheese.
Okay, I have a question for you, Meg, because like sometimes I see a piece of art and it's just like it's so spectacular that I couldn't do it. But then sometimes I see a piece of art that's, you know, very famous and I'm right. like, oh, I could definitely do that. Do you view like those two types of artists differently?
I think I definitely used to like be like, oh my God, are you serious? $1 million for a line on the wall.
That's how I am. I was at the Picasso Museum a couple summers ago in Spain, and I walked through the entire thing, and I'm like, I could do that. I could do that. Right. I could do that. Shout out Mange. He was there with me. We both had the same opinion.
Right. Okay, so that's right. So you could. Then let's take a step back and think about, are you? No, you're not. You haven't. And this guy has put it on the paper and somehow got it into the museum that you're walking around in. So it's like, could you do that?
Fair enough.
Period.
Mic drop.
She just humbled me real quick. So how do you view the artists differently? Like, do you have more respect for somebody?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have more respect for somebody who does something that you don't think that you'd be able to do?
I think...
Or do you have just as much respect for Picasso?
I just have respect for people that do what they love. And if they're doing it genuinely, then I think it's amazing. And I'll never be like, I could do that better. Because it's just like something they did because they love it.
Just have respect for people that do what they love.
I mean, you have to.
It's a good way to put it.
Are there any other styles that like you want to get into like in your career? Or are you, right now, are you sticking with the New England and the graffiti styles?
I think you never know. I think I'm going to stick with it, but at the same time, like, maybe I'll do something tomorrow morning that completely takes it elsewhere. I don't know.
Are you painting every day?
Every day. From, like, the second I wake up till when I go to bed, except for when I'm at Layla's South Boston.
Eat, sleep, paint,
bartend.
Pour drinks. It's a good life.
Yeah. What's the most annoying drink somebody can order?
You know, it's, like, been really hard for me. It's like, can't shake the espresso enough to get that foam. But I did it the other day.
Talk about how you started bartending.
Oh my
this
God.
This is a fucking hilarious story.
So when I first... No, I can't out myself on that.
You don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
And the guy sucks.
How'd you start bartending?
So like when I was like the first time I started bartending, any single person that ordered tequila got gin.
Wow.
You weren't a bartender.
Well, I like was as for fun. And then I just was like, I did a lot of studying before my interview. So I kind of knew what I was doing, except for the bottle on the well. Like I've mixed up the tequila and gin. And then I recovered from that. And I'm pretty badass
now. How long did that last?
I left. So it's not like.
No, but how long were you pouring gin for tequila shots?
Oh, just one night. Oh, like okay. It was my first night. It was like whoever was there on my first night got gin, my bad.
Did anybody complain?
Not a single person. So it's like, do you know what you're drinking? No.
I feel like the placebo is like pretty
totally.
Real.
Totally.
Like, you could probably pour people like water and like some, like if you've definitely done that before.
Never.
You've definitely like.
I Never, never.
Not maybe all water, but like lightened up a drink.
I've done that to my friend, and they didn't know.
Exactly. So you have done it before.
Yeah. But not...
Didn't you tell Zach you had like years of experience? And you were like, yeah,
no. No, 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 I did not. He's pouring
gin. Did he order anything? Your boss?
Yeah, but by then I already knew what I was doing.
Oh, so how long did this really take? Like the gin phase?
Oh, it was literally one night I messed up.
Okay.
My first night at the bar. And I was familiarizing myself with the gin and tequila. That's fine. No one knew.
You figured
it out. Except for Mark, who opened his big mouth.
Do you have an end goal with art?
I do. It's to have enough money to like give back to like people. That doesn't make sense right now, but I'll make it make sense.
Just to make a lot of money and like do good with it.
Do good with it. I think there's so much good that we can do. Like one of my paintings in Dallas raised, I think, $500, which is not a lot, but when you think of it for families and mothers and anyone really who are getting abused, that's a lot of money. And so it was one of like the coolest things I did, and like that was kind of the motivation behind the Brushless Studios podcast I wanted to start, and it's nowhere near finished, but that was kind of like, I want that to exist so that people know that there's gonna be a way through my art to help people, if that makes sense.
So you think that art can be capitalistic, like you can use it to make money and that's okay?
Oh yeah, I think that, I mean, people have to make a living, and I think if people see the value in your art and they're willing to pay that, then that's great. And some people think it's silly, but that's okay. It's okay.
You don't want to be the starving artist.
I don't want to be a starving artist, but I'm okay being a starving artist. You know, you got to start somewhere, and maybe I'll always be a starving artist, but I'm like loving what I'm doing.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about that you want to tell people? Maybe about this is dropping Monday. So like right after your art show, what's going to make your art show like the ultimate success and you 100% happy with the way that it went?
DJ Mark Souza.
Shout out, Mark.
Shout out, DJ Mark.
Plug Mark.
The most...
The gin tequila shots. I'm going to ask for a tequila soda, but I'm going to say, can I get gin instead?
Oh, my God. Never again.
I fucking love this tequila brand. What is it? It tastes exactly like gin.
Oh my God, I'm exposed.
This was not good publicity for you on this podcast.
Okay, no, I will be so happy because whenever I see people, maybe no one will look at my art and do this, but in the past I've had at least one person come up to me and just say like, thank you for doing this event because it has brought such an amazing night together. And I think it's true because no one is really pushing art in their community, and I want to like hardcore. So if someone comes up to me, and it can't be you guys that are in this room, says like, I'm so happy, like thank you for doing this, like that would to me would be a successful night.
It's good to know.
Yeah, don't say it though. Don't spread the word about that. Because this isn't dropping till the day after.
It's not. We'll drop it a day before just so that
no!
it happens. That's great. What do you want to do with this thing?
Okay, so this is going to be a giveaway. And I'm not sure how giveaways work.
We should.
So we'll just give it away, I guess.
So we'll just give it away.
We'll take a picture of it. We'll upload it. They got to follow us. They got to follow you. Put it on their story. And then we'll drop it before game one of next series.
With Drew Holiday.
Drew Holiday, Marcus Smart, Afro D. White.
Tatum, D. White only got nice after he got bald, too.
Tatum, you know, it's good that you got Jaylen Brown with his right hand, too, because he doesn't even have a left hand, so. Shout out Pritchard.
Yeah.
Shout out P. No Zaps on here. Chris Stapps.
It's all right. He's hurt.
Yeah, it's all right.
But, all right, Meg.
Thank you
so much. It was a great episode. It was a lot of fun.
This is awesome. Thank you. Also, thank you for that.
You're welcome. You guys.
No pun intended. You're.
They are great.